That yet on our review. Like I said, I couldn't just pick one or two verses out of this, out of Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm on, right? At least I flipped a button, and I didn't check whether I had a red light or green light, so I don't know. But because it all goes together, you know? Sometimes when we just pick one or two verses out of a portion of Scripture, it doesn't mean what we think it does because it doesn't have the context, the foundation of the Scriptures that went on before it, or the foundation or the beginning of the continuation of the thought of the Scriptures after it. Okay? That's what they said it's there for. I was taught this early in church. If you see a therefore, find out what it's there for, because you just can't start something in the middle of a therefore. Okay? Because that means it's a summation of what went on before it. That's what wherefore means. A wherefore and a therefore. And so as we go through some of this stuff, remember Solomon, God through Solomon is trying to teach us the contrast between the good and the evil. Okay? Between the righteous and the wicked. Between the wise and the foolish. So we kind of got to have the foundation for that. Because otherwise, we become as foolish looking only for the blessings of God. We read earlier in the chapter here that God chastises those whom he loves. And not to not be weary of that chastisement. How many of us had kids and they got weary of us chastising them? You know? You start chastising them, oh, Dad, and they roll their eyes. That was the last time they did that. Sorry. But it's one of those things. Okay, we need to find out, well, okay, God chastises us, which means we go through some troubled times because God is chastising us. He's testing our faith. He's bringing us up. You know, it's not temptation, by the way. Okay, a lot of people think, well, God tempts. No, God, New Testament tells us God tempts no one with evil. Okay, it is the fact, Paul says, another place that we are drawn away and enticed of our own lusts, those things that are within us. Those things that are already there from being lost that we have not quite excised out of our heart. Okay? And in our mind, because we are in this carnal world and we do have a carnal body, okay? I don't know about you. Before I was lost, I loved banana pudding. After I was saved, I love banana pudding. Okay? Some things don't change. Okay? The flesh is still the flesh. It's the war, and the mind is the battleground as to who wins in our life, whether God or me. Okay? A lot of people want to, and this is just an aside, because a lot of people say, well, it's Satan, God and Satan. No. Satan, I kind of believe, is a convenient excuse for us. Oh, I went and did this. Oh, it was a mistake. Oh, Satan just led me astray. Oh, and I did. Oh. No, you followed after your own lust, after your own desires and your own heart and your mind. That's what you did. Okay. And it's unfortunate because we're clouded. Pastor's going through a thing about Lucifer, okay? The doctrine of Lucifer, okay? A real being. Yes, he does a lot to try and trip us up. But when we sin, it's not his fault. It's ours. Okay? It's our fault that we sin. It's our fault that we follow through and accomplish and do those things that are in our mind with the wickedness of our heart and mind. So here we have in Proverbs chapter 3 this foundation, one of the foundation things that Solomon's trying to lay. Okay? Because you can't just tell a person, oh, be good, be righteous. You can't. Honest. Even salvation, even Paul tells us, be good, be honest, because of, and be righteous because of this. Because Christ has shed his blood for you, because you now have a new creature. Because of all these things, you must choose to be good and righteous and holy. Even in the Old Testament, Peter quotes it, but even in the Old Testament, there's the verse, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is God saying that. Which means that you have that choice. Okay. the free will that Pastor's been speaking about, to choose who it is that you will follow. You know, even Joshua, at the end of the battles and at the end of his life, he says, look, choose you this day. You make a choice. Okay, who are you going to serve? The gods before the flood, the gods on the other side of the river, the gods of Egypt, and there were numerous gods of Egypt that covered all kinds of things, or the one and true only righteous God. You make that choice. As for me and my house, it's already settled. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve Jehovah. We're going to serve Yahweh. We're going to serve the only God there is. Okay. Make the choice. Okay. Because that's within our power to make that choice. And it's interesting, sometimes, like I said, we don't make the choice. We figure that, well, if I don't do this, then I'll not have made a choice, and then there can't be any recrimination. Yes, there is. Okay, because no choice is a choice. The not acting on something is a choice. Remember, because we're told not to do evil, even those things, the sin of not doing something right. If you see right and you do it not, it is sin. It's New Testament. Solomon's trying to get that point across to us, you know. The TV evangelist will get up there and tell you that if you give me money, God will bless you. Okay? Wait a minute, God's blessings only come after you living for God and righteousness. That's Old Testament. That's here in the book of Proverbs. Okay? And that's why we're like I said, going further rather than just choosing one or two verses to review, because all of it is involved. Okay? It's like you cannot read the New Testament and go through the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. All of that, you can't do that without having some sort of foundation in the Old Testament. How do I make that statement? Well, Paul quotes Isaiah a lot. And if you know nothing about Isaiah in the Old Testament, you're lost. You're not going to know what's going on. Okay? He says in another place, Isaiah says in another place, the prophet says this. In another place, well, you got to know what he's founding that all on. Peter and the other writers of the New Testament don't quote New Testament scriptures. Jesus, when he was in the Gospels on this earth, he doesn't quote New Testament scriptures. He quotes Old Testament. All the stuff that we find today is in the Old Testament, has the basis and foundation in the Old Testament. I knew that, but the first time that Brother Rosenkrantz came in here and preached, it's like, ding, you're right. We need to know the Old Testament's important, more important than we as Christians give it. More important to us, should be more precious to us. I mean, we like quoting Proverbs, oh, there's, you know, the Lord love the cheerful giver, all this other stuff, but we have not a clue what's it based in. Okay? We have not a clue why the New Testament, when it brings us these verses out, why they're so important and why they are so much involved. Because basically a lot of stuff in the New Testament is a summation of the Old Testament. What was written back there. So, we're still in chapter 3 of Proverbs. And I apologize. I go through that a lot, don't I? Where I just review and review and review. It's like, well, because sometimes when I was taught to teach, and I actually took a teaching class, they said, go through an introduction. And if you're still in the middle, maybe review a little bit. It's like, okay. Sorry, it's a habit. But we left off last week in chapter 3, the merchandise of wisdom. The merchandise is those things that you buy, those things you seek to obtain or attain. And it's interesting, though, that the uses that Solomon uses are stuff that you got to go out and do. You got to go out and do. You got to seek wisdom to obtain wisdom. Okay? because you're not going to find wisdom rolling around the streets outside. Okay. When I go to get new fishing stuff, I usually go to the sporting goods section of Walmart or a sporting goods store, a place where they sell that. Okay. I'm not going to find it in Rosars. Anybody ever seen fishing stuff in Rosars? Anybody ever seen hunting stuff in Rosars? About the only thing to do in some of those stores or super ones is the end cap will have, in the wintertime and in the fall, they'll have stocking caps and they'll have gloves with a camo pattern on it. Ooh, they're hunting gloves. No, I'm afraid they're not. You know, it's like, wow, we got to go to where they are, where it is. You know? Nobody looks for pearls in the desert. Okay? Matter of fact, when they go look for pearls, they go out in this ocean. Some of these guys do a free dive down to 30 feet. I don't know. I only free dive down to about 15, 16 feet. It's like, man, that's deep enough. They go down 30 feet. They look around. And then they come out. You know, a lot of these guys hurt themselves because of what they do. They cripple their bodies doing that in order to gain this pearl. And they don't know which one of these oysters down there they're getting is going to have a pearl, do they? They just kind of pick, that one looks good. And then they're out of breath. They go back to the surface. And then they open it up. Boy, I hope there's a pearl in this. And it's a good chance because I looked where they were. I sought the ones that I thought were older because the bigger they are, the older they are. The older they are, the better chance is that they have a bigger pearl. Okay. And so these guys do that at the risk of life and limb. Hey, I saw Jaws when it came out in the theaters. Big screen, man. There's still fish like that down there. That's what kept me from being an oceanographer watching that movie. It's like, nah, that can't be real. Oh, yeah, it is real. Based on a true story. It's like, wow. Holy moly. So these guys risk life and limb to go to find these pearls. Okay. To bring them up. And as they look, they hope that this is what I'm going to find. Well, you know, God says if you go look for it, you will find it. If you look for me, I am right by you. I will be there for you to find. Most of the problem is that we don't look. God's right there, next to you, nigh into your heart. And we don't look there. We look for some great teacher. I don't know. Christian bookstores. Last time I went, they had these books by this person, these books by that person, this books by that person. Oh, these are new because this guy is just, he's awesome. When you get preachers together, they all talk about the schools. Oh, I'm from this school. I graduated magna cum laude from this school. Some of those southern guys don't even know what that means. Okay. Oh, I went to this school. I went to that school. My school is better because it was founded by that guy. Doesn't it sound like the beginning of Corinthians? Oh, foolish Corinthians. That's my words. Who has bewitched you into thinking that you can divide yourself? I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. And the other guys went to the top of the line. No, I am of Jesus. And therefore, because I follow his teachings and not Paul or Apollos, I'm better than you. Isn't that so, Pastor? Now, I never have asked you this, but it's been my experience with people that were taught by mail-in, taught online and stuff. Those guys are really looked down on. Okay? By the guys that went to an official college. By guys that went to actually, you know, a university for Bible school. You were homeschooled? Correspondence course? Don't even touch me. You know? It's like, yeah, wait a minute. That's not right. We have that tendency to cling to other things that we consider precious rather than the Word of God. Okay? And here we are, the merchandise, the things that you can buy of righteousness, of wisdom, of searching after the wisdom of God are better than anything you can find on the face of this earth. It's better than a degree from Jack Hiles University or from Southern Baptist University or from Baylor or from whatever. It's better than any degree you can get from anywhere. Okay? the merchandise of wisdom is better than silver and gold and the shiny stuff. It's better than all that. And we had best, in our mind, change our thinking to consider that to be precious. Okay? To consider that to be of more value than anything we can find out here. She is more precious. Wisdom, it says, verse 15, is more precious than rubies. Yeah, rubies to us these days, that's just a ruby. You know, there's a lake over in Montana. I forget where it's at. I think it's called Ruby Lake, where you can walk along the beach on the shore, and every now and again find a sliver of ruby. Because they used to mine them there, and it came down, and you know, it's been washed up on the shore. It's like, wow, well, that's cool. In Middle Idaho, and I forget where it is now, St. Mary's maybe, there's an opal and garnet place where you can charge, they'll charge you money to walk in and dig for opals and garnets. It's like, wow, that's cool. There are people who will take their time. They will go to these places. Oh, I'm going to look for that. And they come away with nothing. They'll go to Vegas or any one of the numerous casinos around here, spend their money and their time looking for the jackpot. Thinking, wow, I get the jackpot, I can retire. Nah. People spend it. There's a guy that has won, I don't know, multi-million-dollar lottery 3 times. And he still has 0 to show for it. He wastes his money. Remember the prodigal son? He wasn't so prodigal in the beginning of that story, by the way, where he demanded his inheritance from his dad. And there was an option in the Old Testament that you could go out and take your parents to court and get your inheritance. He was supposed to liquidate everything and then give you the money that was supposed to be your share if he were to die then. Okay. And he did. He threatened. And the guy says, oh, I love you so much, I'm just going to do it here. This is all yours. And what did he do with all that money? Did he retire? No. Did he invest it wisely? No. He went and wasted it on riotous living. I had a guy after teaching that one Sunday, come up there. Haven't you ever heard of a vacation? This is not a vacation. Haven't you ever read the story? And when I explained it to you, didn't you listen to what I was saying? It's not a vacation. He didn't just go out there for a little bit of time. He went out there, I'm going to live my life away from my parents, away from my folks back home. I'm going to a foreign country, and I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. Riotous living. Okay? And when he had nothing, and when he used it all, when he wasted it all his friends left him. How do we know that? Because he had to take up residence with a pig farmer, feeding the pigs. Living with an animal that was not clean, an unclean animal, taking care of these unclean animals. Okay? To a Jew, that was an affront. To the law, it's an affront. And then finally, it says, one day, he came to himself. Oh, how stupid. I could go back to my father and beg to be a servant. Because servants are treated better than this in my father's house. Slaves are better than this. Okay? The underlying idea there is that he came to himself because he said, man, all the money I had, I could have done this, I could have done that, and I just wasted it. And here I am with nothing to show for it, living in the same barn as the pigs. At least my dad has a bunkhouse outside for the ranch hands. Okay, that's a Western thing. I don't know if they had a ranch, you know, but he had a quarters for servants. And he says, you know what? That's better than this. Let's not get that far. Let's just say, hey, find the treasure here. Look for it in the Word of God. Find it here, so that way we don't have to go through all that stuff. And it's like, wow. Is that simple? It's not simple. It's not easy. It is, however, straightforward. Okay? And as it is, however straightforward. It's not easy, not simple. Otherwise, everybody would be doing it. And like Jesus said, narrow is the gate. Straight is the way. It's narrow. It's not modern-day Christianity, which you can do this and you can do this. We got freedom in Christ, so we can do all kinds of things. No, Jesus says the way is narrow. Narrow is the gate, and the way is narrow. It's, the word is straight, but it means narrow. It means it's well-defined. It means that where we go here, we have borders, that this is the walk, this is the path. This is where you go. We had a wedding here just a couple months ago. You remember that? There was a path here for the bride. She didn't go that way. She didn't go that way. She didn't go out the steps and walk around the building and come in that way to come in this way. She didn't go come in the back door. No. There was the path set. Did you have paper on the floor? Wow. This is the path that she walks. And then the flowers were strewn. That's the path that you walk. This is where you go. We got the same thing with the Word of God. A light under my feet, a lantern for my path. Gives me direction. Gives me that border that I stay in between. Of course, she didn't do the bounce from one thing to the other. She went straight. She was careful. I'm walking carefully and timed and measured. And it's like, wow. I know that's kind of a thing, but I wanted to use that as an illustration because this is how the Word of God is. There's borders. You know, we get beyond that border, we're just climbing over pews, over ups and downs, and we got the heights and we got lows and all that stuff. You know? And if we go the other way, then we wind up being forward and perverse, and we wind up taking a longer path to get from there to here. The scenic route. Whenever I make a mistake and I make a right turn rather than a left turn with my passengers, we're taking the scenic route today. Block or two out, and then I, you know, make a U-turn. Oh, we got to go back this way. No. God doesn't want us taking the scenic route. He says the route that I put you on is already scenic enough. It is. Man, is it ever. I've met some pretty colorful Christians. It's like, wow. But this is it. Wisdom will tell you this is the path. That's the treasure. The roses strewn on the pathway. You know, ideally, as she stepped on those roses, as the bride steps on those roses or whatever flowers are down there, it releases the fragrance. Those of you that are allergic to such stuff, I'm sorry. Okay? Because for you, it's just, fresh flowers. Start sneezing, coughing, whatever. Can't breathe. You have a reaction. But ideally, it releases a sweet smell. As we walk that path, same thing. Sweet smell of God. That sweet smell of relationship with God. That fragrance that you're not going to find in this world. The only fragrances you're going to find in this world is vomit and mire. You know? Or as Moses said, it's all dung. Sorry to be so crude in some of these things, but we've got to get this illustration in our head so that way when we see the things of the world, we can say, that's not right. I need to be on that path of wisdom and righteousness. Length of days, verse 16 says, is in her right hand and in her left hand riches and honor. We look for the length of days and riches and honor rather than wisdom. It says these things are in the right hand and the left hand. The only way you're going to find it is to find that person wisdom who holds these things in her hands. And if you ask, here, I'll give it to you. People used to go on sojourns, Odyssey, treks. They would take months and years to go on this trek to the mountains in Tibet, find somebody up there and ask them the questions of life. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is go to God. And you'll find it. If you lack wisdom, James tells us, ask of God and He'll give it to you liberally. Without restraint, without hesitation. But you got to ask in faith. Nothing wavering. I mean, that's what the rest of that verse says. Or that series of verses. Ask in faith. Believing. God, I'm just claiming a promise. Not like the TV evangelist. Claim that promise of God. Just say, God, I'm claiming this promise and this is what you got to do for me. God, I'm going to trust you with your promise that if I do these things because of my love for you, you will bless. Maybe not in this life, but definitely in the next. The crown of righteousness, the crown of life, all the crowns that the Bible says that we're going to give back to Him, by the way. But we are always looking for the riches and honor. Verse 17, her ways are the way of pleasantness, and all our paths are peace. We're looking for the pleasantness and the peace. Yeah, even if I have to go to a secular psychologist to get that peace, or a secular psychiatrist. I got these things going in my head, but I got to go to somebody else besides God. Or a person that knows enough and is wise enough to be with God where He can direct me. Instead, some Christians, I won't say most, go to lost people to ask advice. That blows my mind. I understand why. Because a lost person is going to give you advice that appeals to your flesh. That's all a lost person can do for you, is give you advice that appeals to your flesh. You notice Moses, when he finally got in front of Pharaoh, didn't ask him, hey, Pharaoh, what do you think I ought to do here? God says, you go to Moses, to Pharaoh, Moses, and you tell him this. I'll send Aaron to be your mouthpiece because you say you can't speak. Who did all the talking, by the way? Moses, man. Aaron didn't get in a word edgewise. I think the only thing Aaron did was he took the rod and threw it out there. You know, they had that worked out. Moses says, all right, when I give you the signal, you throw it out there and it'll eat up the other snakes. It's like, wow. But we always look for the rich, for the glory and the honor rather than the glory and honor of God. We want to take that and use it for ourselves. Paul said about some of our prayers. Some of our prayers go unanswered because the answer would just allow us to use it for our own selfish means. Okay. You're going to abuse these things, and it's unrighteous what you're asking for, and God's not going to answer an unrighteous prayer. At the most, an unrighteous prayer, God will say, I will neither curse, or I will not bless, but I will curse. I will take my hand of protection away. You want to be on your own? You're on your own. That's harsh. Yeah, it is. I tell you, the first time you whip your child and they start crying, it's like, oh, man, it's breaking my heart. They need it. There's a verse here in Proverbs that says that. Don't let the crying of your child break your heart. Put that rod to them. The rod of administration, the rod of correction. Don't let their crying, you know, get to you. It's like, man. Yeah. God, your Father, is that way with you. Okay. Is that way with us. She is a tree of life, verse 18 says, to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. We look for that tree of life. We look for that happiness. We look for all that joy and everything, but what does it say? We miss the little part here that says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. You have to go out looking for that wisdom, find it, and then keep it. Keep it as if your life depended on it. I was drowning once, actually in the ocean. It was off of San Diego, off of Mission Bay. And there was an undertow here, and as hard as I swam, I was getting further and further away from the shore. And then finally I went down twice, and I was nearing the end. I was tired. There's a lifeguard. He throws that little float out at you. It's got ropes and stuff on it. Now, I don't suggest any of you do this, unless there's a lifeguard around. But you tell me, I grabbed onto that thing for life, because it was life. I was trembling because, I knew it was on my last. And then I get up there. There's no sign, by the way, that says undertow. It's just, and between me and Hawaii, there's all that. There's nothing in between there at that point. From San Diego all the way to Hawaii, there's nothing, no islands in between. Because Catalina's a little further north, and you'd miss Catalina. But I grabbed onto that thing for dear life. I kind of understand what it says when Paul says to hold fast to those things you've learned. I kind of understand or have an idea of a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. When you seek God's wisdom and you find it, and He gives it to you. When you seek God's counsel and He gives it to you. When you seek God and He appears right there, grab a hold. Hold on. Man, I was grabbing onto those ropes, and not only the ropes, but the little floaty thing. Looks like a torpedo. I didn't care. I said, I'm grabbing on. He pulled me ashore. Thank you very much. Well, I didn't come out earlier because you looked like you were a pretty strong swimmer, like you were going to swim out of it. Look, man, I had a hangover while I was out swimming. Don't do that. And it's like, dang. You mean he could have been out there sooner? It's like, you should have been out there sooner. But at the last minute, he gave me plenty of time. I didn't drown. But I thought I was. So when you find wisdom, when you find that tree of life, hang on to it. When you find her, hang on to it for dear life. Like you were gonna, like a drowning man. Hang on to it. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. Same word, same type of word, retaineth, which means you have her by your side all the time. A lot of people retain lawyers. Okay, which means that they give the lawyer some money, and the lawyer is there available at every beck and call. The lawyer is right there at all times. I thought that had been cool to have. Till you figure out how much they want. It's like, I'm not rich enough to have a lawyer on retainer. So if I need one, I'll have to trust a public defender. Some guy that does this, not for me, but for the state. But, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. You're only happy with the things of this world and how life treats you in this world if you retain the wisdom of God. Sometimes we attain and we say, oh, now that I've attained, I can let it go. No. It took me a long time to do that for catch and release and fishing. I caught a fish. I'm keeping it. Are you going to eat it? No, the cat will eat it. It's free cat food, by the way. Or we caught a bunch of and little guys, and the kids wanted to keep them. Okay, threw them in the garden. Man, I had rose bushes. I mean, wild rose bushes that were just, whew, the flowers were big. A wild rose smells great. Okay? We had peonies that grew up tall and thick, and they didn't, these out here, they'll get up so big and then they'll flop over and it's like, no, this was tall and thick. I transplanted that peony when I moved. It died because it didn't have all the fish stuff down there to feed on. Of course, I didn't realize that 2 years later, but the retaining, the laying hold and retaining of the things of God in the New Testament. It's a good thing that we cannot lose our salvation, because some of us, once we have it, we'd let it go. How do we know this? Because we see people that are saved, that say they're saved, come up, they get baptized, they attend church for about a week, 2 weeks, and then they're gone. They're no longer here. Well, they went to another church. No. I had a tough time getting up, so I didn't make it. I'm sorry. Something else went on in my life. Oh, I got these other things to do that I'm not here. Oh, so now you're making church attendance a requirement. No, I'm not making it. It is an evidence, however, of your salvation. It is an evidence, however, of God in your life, that you have desire to be here, that you want to be in God's service with God's people, fellowshipping with God as we all worship God together in spirit and in truth. Longing and desiring to hear the word of God from whoever is preaching up there. Longing and desiring to hear the sweet things that God wants. The sweet things that God wants to tell you. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. Yeah, you can find happiness in this day and age. But it's not wrapped up in the government. It's not wrapped up in your job. It's not wrapped up in your spouse. Sorry, honey. It's not wrapped up in other people. It's wrapped up in only the true God, Jehovah, the self-existing one. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and we're, I should not start this until next week. But it says, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. The wisdom of God has power. Sometimes we think, oh, hey, wisdom, what good is wisdom? We need to know stuff. That's why we have this information highway called the internet. We need to know things. Okay, no, I don't think we need to know some things. I have heard some people say that they're going to teach their children about the things of life, the facts of life. But they start telling them about things that are false, that are lies. Start telling them about drinking. All I can say about drinking is I'm not going to teach you that it's good, but I'm going to teach you that the end of it, like Solomon says, it's like a serpent. It'll bite you. And then you wind up being decayed and decrepit and broken. But, well, they got to experience all that bad stuff. No, they don't. No, you don't. Your kids don't have to experience bad stuff in order to be a Christian. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. Wisdom has a lot of power. That's why that verse is in there. Because we think wisdom, God spoke and the worlds came into being. Everything. By wisdom, God did that. The power of wisdom is greater than we think it is. The power of wisdom goes far beyond any power on this earth. Goes far beyond anything bigger than the atomic bomb. Bigger than the hydrogen bomb. Bigger than the lithium bomb, okay? It goes far beyond that in power. It has more power than the sun. That's a lot of power. Because by wisdom, God created the earth out of nothing. He created all that we see, the stars. Grew up in L.A. You don't see stars much in L.A. Yeah. From L.A., the northern stars. Well, I can't see it because the skyline's in the way and there's too much light, okay? Moved up here. Moved to where I'm at now. Man, we parked our car one night, turned off the lights. It's dark. We forgot to turn on the porch light. Dark. I looked up. There's a lot of stars up there. You know, in the middle, there was all this big band of thickness. That must be the Milky Way. And there is the North Star. Oh, and there's the Dipper thingy. There's that other thing. I want to say it's Orion because I just saw the three bright stars, which is supposed to be the belt. It's like, wow, there is so much out there. Wow. And we miss the things of God by the pollution of the things of Earth. We need to understand wisdom Next time you're out camping where there's no lights, look up there. Get on a mountaintop. Wow. And then we can say, God, I forgot how big you were. I forgot how magnificent. I forgot how all-powerful you are. Allow that to sink into your heart and into your mind. Wisdom is that power. And yet, we sometimes will discard wisdom for what we consider better things. No. Don't. Okay, don't. And we'll continue next week. Gracious.